Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT Photo, episode number 33, recorded on Tuesday, November 15th, 2011. David Hobby.
TWiT Photo is brought to you by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and MyFord Touch. Now your car could be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, visit Netflix.com/TWiT. It's time for TWiT Photo, the show. One of my favorite shows of the week. Somebody was asking me this weekend, what's your favorite show to do? And I had to say, now, I love all my children, but I really like doing TWiT Photo.
Wow, that's good to hear.
Catherine Hall is here, our wonderful host. And partly I love working with you, but I think it's certainly a big part of it. But I love photography, and I love meeting great photographers and looking at their work. So for me, this is like vacation.
I agree. Yeah,
I love it too. Catherine Hall is at CatherineHall.net. She's a fantastic photographer in her own right.
Yes.
And she does a tip every week before we get to our guest. Actually, before we get to your tip, we should probably mention this is the last week for the TWiT Photo Guest Quest, right?
It is. So you have one more week to get your entries in.
Now, what is this? It's a search for an emerging photographer who will be a guest on the show. That's the only prize, by the way. We don't pay your airfare. We don't pay your car fare. We don't pay your bus fare. You just show up via Skype or in studio if you're so inclined, and we talk to you.
Yes.
That's the prize.
That is the prize. The exposure is the prize, which in my history of being a photographer has been the best prize.
It's the most important thing.
Yes.
Not only that, you're going to get in front of previous guests, Art Wolf, Zach Arias, Colby Brown, Frank Dorhoff, and Tamara Lackey. So you're going to get in front of six of the best photographers in the world, so that could help you too.
Yes, it could.
Yeah, those are our judges. All you have to do is go to bit.ly/TWiT Photo Guest Quest, or better yet, go to Catherine Hall's website, CatherineHall.net, and you'll see it linked right there. TWiT Photo Guest Quest. All the rules, all the details are there, but you only have till November 22nd at 11:59 p.m., midnight.
Pacific Standard.
Pacific Daylight. Standard, it should say, but it says daylight.
Well, we're confused.
We're confused because we are now in standard. You're right. We'll fix that. Right. And then we'll announce the winner on December 6th, and we will then book you. We don't know what day that'll be, whatever's convenient for everybody, on the show, which should be a lot of fun. You could submit your portfolio to a lot of different places like Flickr, Facebook.
Yeah, and the whole goal with it is knowing, you know, as a professional photographer myself, knowing how difficult it was in the beginning to get my work out there, to get that initial exposure and break. So giving it to somebody who's well-deserving and hasn't received it yet.
Yes.
So
that's
it's exciting stuff.
Your portrait of the week this week. Oh, that's beautiful. Was this a wedding shoot?
Yeah, it was. It was a really unusual shoot in that the bride let us basically take over, and we did a three-light setup for it, which is not typical. We had pro photo heads in there and everything.
You made a studio in the wine cellar.
Yes, we did. Wow. We did. And she was up for it, so we went for it. And I actually have two tips to go on this one. The first one is,
look at what I have. Look at this little thing in her hand.
I don't know where you can go on my
Tony,
face.
Tony, wake up. Look at this little thing in her hand. There you go. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up. What is that?
The SanDisk Memory Vault.
Oh, that's
and cool. This thing is amazing. It's guaranteed for 100 years, the data on it. So it's different than any hard drive or flash drive or anything else that I've ever had.
Does it have a hard reader in it?
It comes in two sizes, 8 and 16 gigabyte.
Okay.
And it's the way it's encrypted. I don't know how, I don't know the science behind it, to be honest. But
it's so pretty.
It is guaranteed data for 100 years. So the purpose of it is that you put your images, because we're putting all our images on DVDs and hard drives and things that inevitably will fail.
So this is like supposed to be permanent.
Yes.
Like,
this is supposed to last forever.
Interesting. It's not a lot of storage, 16 gigs.
No, so I mean the goal is not to put everything on here.
But that could be the whole wedding.
But this is like, for example, I'm going to start giving these to wedding clients because they're going to want their whole wedding.
Perfect.
You know?
It's only $90 for 16 gigs. So
yeah.
For $90, you get, here's your vault.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Isn't it
I
great?
I love that idea.
So, and this much better than giving them DVDs that are going
right.
to be
right.
basically
well,
not
that's
working
three and
in
a half
couple
DVDs,
years.
So that's got
yeah.
a lot of space.
Yeah. So this I'm doing with all my clients. I think it's great for portrait clients, wedding clients, you know, any type of client. It's special.
And it has
cool.
unique chronolock technology for long-term
unique.
Reliability.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the only issue is I hope they have USB ports in the year 2112.
Right. That's
right?
actually the only thing that, you know, there's so many things that they do. There's the ChronoSync. It's, I guess it's a epoxy base, so like nothing can get inside.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then also, you can't rewrite. You can only write and rewrite so many times because that's what a lot of times what
right.
damages memory is
right.
is you
right.
keep
so
writing
they'll actually, they'll turn off writing.
Yeah, so you, at a certain point you can't write anymore when it's going to start hurting the data.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, the only thing is the USB, and that's
like
just
this.
The one thing you can't get around.
I really like this idea. So it's like you're vaulting your photos.
Yeah. So I mean, and I see that. But then I see things like DVDs and whatnot
those
going out.
Those are not
going
to last as
a
long.
Lot quicker
those
than
are
USB.
Not going to last as long. So did you give your lovely bride? Did you give her?
No.
A copy
luckily,
of her?
Luckily, I mean, unfortunately, she was before. This was before her time.
Before her time.
But
isn't that a great picture, though? Wow.
But I picked this photo actually in honor of our guest today
because it's all about light.
Because it's all about the light.
Ah.
And I noticed in your work, you obviously. The strobist. Let's introduce our guest.
David, I'm so thrilled to meet this
so
guy.
So I have to say, David's actually been one of our most requested guests.
Get out.
I keep saying, let's
most
get David Hobby on.
Guests.
Let's get David Hobby. I'm
People
not anybody
are...
else, just me. David, it's great to
Repetition.
Have you.
Glad yeah. to be here. Very happy.
No, the chat room's always asking for you. Google+, like everyone's always asking for you. So has one of the most, the most intensive lighting blog out there.
He gives it away, which is great. I mean, he really gives people the information they need to do great, interesting lighting inexpensively.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's the theory anyway.
Well, actually, I want to know, we'll lead right into that. How do you get hate mail?
Oh, yeah. Oh, always.
From whom?
So
who would hate David Hobby?
Well, it's about the continuum of people that read the site. So if I mention Profoto, then I get hate mail from the duct tape and clothes hanger wire folks.
Right.
And if I mention the duct tape and clothes hanger wire stuff, then I get the mail from people saying, well, you know, if you're going to spend 23 hours making a cardboard ring flash adapter, you could probably bought one.
You should have bought one.
Yeah.
So I embrace it, you know, whatever.
But what about, I mean, one of the things that you've done that I find really fascinating is you've made professional looking imagery accessible to amateurs. I mean your blog has a ton of people that are just getting into photography or following it that are learning and are able to do lighting that looks like they're professional. They've been doing it for years. And so how has the older generation of photographers revolted against that?
So I would actually back up a little bit and the lighting is accessible, and obviously we have gear that is like light years ahead of what we were doing just 3-4 years ago at this point. But just because you can create really interesting light does not necessarily mean you can make a great picture. And that's a sticking point for a lot of people because, man, if I can just learn these 5 techniques, I'll be a professional photographer. No.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably the biggest cultural divide between people who are just learning this and people who have been doing this for a long time and incorporated the techniques into their career. I mean, photography is about much more than lighting. I think lighting something well will get you a long way towards your pictures looking really good, but you still have to be...
You got to have a good picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A perfectly lit lousy picture is just a perfectly lit
lousy
picture.
It's a hammer. It's a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say that one of the things that I got excited about with Strobist was it showed me how I could do things like 3-point lighting inexpensively mm-hmm. and start getting really great effects. We're looking at some shots right now that make a big difference in the quality of the photography. A flat lit photo, a photo without angles, without stuff happening, is really pretty boring. So you do take what could be a boring picture with great lighting and bring it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there were a lot of assignments that I shot, and at the Sun, sometimes I would get assignments because there wasn't a lot of there.
Right.
And sometimes bringing light to it would at least make something that was visually interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So you started as a photojournalist.
I did.
At the Baltimore Sun.
Well, that was the last job I had. I was a photojournalist for 20 years, the first 10 of which at a chain of weekly newspapers, which was wonderfully photo-conscious. It was the place to work.
Mm.
And then I went to the Sun for the last 10 years.
Was that your school, or did you study?
I studied engineering, oddly enough, and had a job in my field, a couple of classes away from a degree, and I was shooting for the paper, $20 an assignment, and having so much fun on the weekends that I came in and made this announcement to my parents. That
how did that one go over?
Oh, it went over wonderfully, as you can imagine. wait, you're what?
Well, that actually makes sense because, you know, he was saying a lot of the assignments that you've gotten with Baltimore Sun, they would hire you. You were the go-to guy to solve problems.
Well, my kind of problems. I mean, I was on staff. I was one of maybe 20 photographers on staff at the time. And for illustrative stuff or things that probably were less photojournalistic and more issue pictures or problem-solving pictures.
Do you think that your engineering thought process helped that a lot?
Yeah. And it steps on my toes in the creativity side because I tend to approach creativity like an engineer, which is sometimes a bad thing.
I want to show some of the Baltimore Sun photojournalist stuff you did, because even then, I mean, you're clearly very aware of light and,
yeah.
And reflections and how I love that. That's a great shot.
yeah,
but as with any photojournalist, it's the moment, isn't it? Capturing the moment.
Right. Yep. I love that.
That's a great shot.
it's interesting to me because I think a photojournalist, I wouldn't think that would breed somebody that would specialize in lighting if they were going to go out from the field after 25 years or 20 years and specialize in one aspect of photography and educate on that.
So think about shooting in really dark gyms or such, like high school basketball, for instance. If you don't figure out a way to solve that, you're not going to have anything on your film unless it's just some nuked straight flash shot that's going to look awful. So that's where we were. That was our lab when we were like 21, 22 years old, is how can we figure out how to get usable, good quality light in Laurel High School, which is a pit and the darkest place in the place.
Would you bring your strobes and a bunch of lights? I mean, you would. Okay.
Was that common? Did most photojournalists shoot with natural light?
I think we had a really neat little Galapagos Islands at Patuxent Publishing, which is the first place that I worked. All young people out of college, and we were a little competitive. There's a little bit of a guy thing going on
there.
That's
good, though. And, competition does make you better, doesn't it?
It does.
To a degree, and it's just a little crazy. Yeah. But so we were always trying to outdo each other on some of the techniques that we use and such.
I'm loving these photos. These are just fantastic. Amazing image. I'm just going to go back a little bit. Well, there's so many. I hate to go back.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, they're fantastic. But I want to go back. I'm going to go back through here. There's this one of the fox jumping the hay bales. Is just an amazing picture. I just love that. Good luck, or did you plan that?
Both. So the story was on farms in suburban areas and how these guys would put their farm into their land into preservation to save on taxes. But then they'd have to farm, but then they couldn't really do it very well, so it got real sticky. And we were out in a semi-rural area, and I saw this fox sitting up on a bale of hay, or straw, I guess that is, and I got maybe 100 feet from it, and it took off. And I was really mad because I wasn't shooting as I went, just trying to get close enough to make a picture. And we circled way around, and I got back, and he was sitting there again. And I literally, like Carl the Head Greenskeeper hunting the gopher in Caddyshack. I'm like,
come here, little foxy, 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 foxy.
I pop up, and the guy's jumping, like, boom, 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 boom,
bale to bale.
So that's not one picture. That is my favorite one of maybe 50 pictures that I got.
Oh, really?
It was like, okay, again, cue the fox, again, please.
Wow.
Again,
oh, my
please.
Gosh.
And, you know, he's a little pup. He's, you know, a few months old.
Adorable. What a great picture. But, again, even these, and you're obviously not setting up lights on a baseball field, but you're very aware of light. And there's shadows here. There's light falling on the player. I mean,
well, yeah. And I told him to run to the left. You know, when light. I will take light anytime I can get it. With sports, it's more about choosing light and choosing a background.
Do you move around to get a better background, to get a better shot, or
baseball? Not so much.
You can't. You're in that pit.
Exactly. You can go back and forth between innings, but you're kind of. Oh, if you back up this is one of my favorite baseball pictures ever. This is Sidney Ponson, who was our, like, tragically talented Orioles pitcher for a while. And the thing about him was he would get into a jam and he would get out, and he would get into a jam and get out. That's his sweat as he's flipping his hat.
Oh, my God.
So he was like a sweater. And that picture says a lot about him.
It sure does. I love it. What a great shot. There's so many good shots. And these are your photo. These are your early photojournalism shots. And, again, the moment, so important in photojournalism. But I'm paying attention to light. And obviously so are you, because these are really just dramatic.
And what did you carry with you, typically, in this at this time?
Most of the time, I would work with two bodies, like most photojournalists would. Just if you have one camera and it goes down, you're not a photographer
so
anymore.
Just one long, one wide, or?
Long zoom and a wide zoom, like a 20 to 35 on one, 7200 on the other, 50 in the waist pack, and a couple of speed lights in the waist pack, and then over my shoulder, one or two compact stands. So that gave me, I could move around, but I really had a studio with me anytime I needed to set it up.
And now, are you using speed lights or studio lights more?
It depends completely on the job, but I default to small flashes and move to big stuff if there's a reason that I have to. I'm more comfortable working with small flashes.
We got to talk about flashes. We got to talk about we're the strobist. Why am I bringing up this Baltimore Sun? This old hat. Let's talk about strobist. It's so nice to have David Hobby here, the strobist. Strobist.com, S-T-R-O-B-I-S-T. And for me, it was one of the very first photography sites I really kind of read religiously, because it was such a great place to learn about using light. And I loved the focus on you can do it yourself. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Yes. I really love that.
Yeah, that's great.
So we're going to talk more with David in just a bit, but first I got to talk a little bit about our friends at Ford. Oh, we love Ford, and I love the new Ford stuff. I just read an article. Where was that? I can't remember. It said basically Ford is a consumer electronics company, and they are in so many ways. For the first time ever, for instance, they're allowing you to update your car. I mean, until now, you buy a car, it's the same car from, you know, the day you buy it to the day you junk it 20 years later. The new Ford Sync and my Ford Touch, when I got my Sync, you download the update on a USB key, you bring it, you plug it in your car, and you update your car. And now they're going to send out early next year to 250,000 My Ford Touch owners a complete rewrite, complete update. They've done such a beautiful job. This is amazing. Your car is actually a consumer electronics device. You can find out more about all the technologies Ford's using at their website, ford.com/technology. I'll give you an example. The new Ford Sync with Wi-Fi connectivity. How about this? It turns your car into a Wi-Fi hotspot. If you've got the 2012 Ford Focus, you plug in a 3G access key, and now everybody in the car, or if you have a BlackBerry, you can connect to the hotspot wirelessly via Bluetooth, and everybody in the car is now Wi-Fi enabled. It's things like this that are kind of obvious and yet mind-boggling to see these in a car. The app link that lets you use your apps on your phone with the My Ford Touch and the Ford Sync. I love Sync because you don't take your hands off the wheel, your eyes off the road. You can do everything. You can tell the car what temperature, find me a gas station, play the next song, all without taking your hands off the wheel or your eyes off the road. That's a safety feature as well as a great convenience feature. Find out more at ford.com/technology or visit your Ford dealer and take a look at the 2012 Ford Focus. My order is in for the electric Focus.
You've ordered it?
Can't wait.
When does it come?
I don't know. It's so...
I am maybe by so the next barbecue?
Yeah, that'd be nice. December 4th is our next barbecue.
I'm
going to
be there.
Are you going to come?
Yes, I am.
We had such a good time on Sunday. The food was fantastic. I had a bunch of great people in studio.
Yeah, I see tea bags on the floor. I'm not sure.
I don't know what that's for. We had a bouncy bounce, you know, those bounce house out front.
Oh, you
people
did?
People were getting in there and jumping on it. We had a tent. It was really good. Now, December 4th, we expect rain because it's the heavy rainy season.
Yeah.
So that one's going to be more of an indoor one than an outdoor.
Got
one.
It.
But that's going to be a lot of fun. We've already invited everybody, by the way. Thank you for all of you who applied. But we literally hundreds of people wanted to go to each one, and we only have room for 50 to 70. I think we've told 75 people. So you should, if you haven't already gotten it in the email, you should get it in the next few minutes. And if you haven't, then you'll get the sorry you can't come. But you know what? I think we're going to do more of these.
We should do more.
I think we want to do a lot more, and we want to do them all over the country, not just here at the Twitter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do one in Balmer. Be kind
Sweet.
Of fun.
Sweet.
I love the waterfront there, the harbor. It's just so great. It's just so beautiful. Yeah. And the food, the crabs. Oh, my God.
See, now that The Wire, which is like my favorite all-time TV
yes.
show.
Isn't that a great show?
Done by former Sun reporter Dave Simon.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's the authenticity.
That's how he knows all that stuff.
Literally. He wanted to do more long-form journalism, and the newspaper was going to doing more with less. And that, you know, as he was aging in his career, he's like, fine, I'll go out and do my own projects.
Boy,
and
this is a brilliant writer.
There you go.
He's a brilliant writer.
But that's people's impression of Baltimore.
Unfortunately,
now,
so the projects.
But there
was another Baltimore cop show, and I remember looking at going down and see, I can't remember the name of it.
Homicide, Life on the
Streets. Homicide.
Also, David Simon.
No.
Yes.
That was another great show.
Yes.
With the Meltzer. Richard Meltzer. It was an amazing show.
Yeah.
Anyway, David Hobby is here. He's the strobist. Why are we talking? We keep talking about things that are not related to what you do. How did you start the strobist? What was this?
Yeah, I want to know how, going off of that, Leo, he's a staffer at The Sun, which is what photojournalists aspire to.
A great
That's
job.
That's the goal as a photojournalist.
At that point.
That is the goal in that
set,
era. In that
big,
era.
Big exactly. city paper.
Right.
And you're a staffer, you're set for life, you have a kid, you have a wife, things are good. Mm. And what happens?
He got into crack cocaine.
Exactly. As seen on The Wire.
As everybody in Baltimore does sooner or later. No, I'm just joking. Obviously. By the way, there he is at work. Is that you in a reflection of
that
you?
Is, yeah. That is. Yeah. That's
that's great.
The most cluttered graffiti picture I've ever made, maybe.
I love it.
So 2006, I started seeing that it was possible to blog and do so for free and not even have to set up your own site using Google's platform, obviously. And so many people had helped me when I was 20 years younger, and in particular, people that I shot with at the very first paper I was stringing at when I was in high school and just getting to college. I thought it might be neat to turn around and point some of that same knowledge back to the next people coming along 20 years later. So it essentially was written as a 41-year-old to myself as a 21-year-old. So that was the compass point.
Here's what I've learned.
Right.
And you weren't trying to make money off of it.
No.
Although I think this has become a full-time job, hasn't it?
It's more than a full-time job, and I always have to carve out everything I can to keep shooting, which is my main compass point. But it's like a be careful what you wish for thing.
Right.
Yeah. So you had over a million hits in the first 8 months.
Yeah.
How did you expect that success, and how did you handle it?
See, I thought my audience would be photojournalism students and young pros, but the amateur folks found it pretty quickly, and I just would just shake my head, and like every day it would be bigger. It's like the second month that I had 250,000 views, and
that's crazy.
It's like having a tiger by the tail. I didn't really know what to do at that point.
So strobist is based on strobes.
Yes,
those are the flashes that normally sitting on the camera. Mm-hmm. We all probably have one. If you have a DSLR, you probably have a strobe, but you talk about getting it off the camera.
See, that's the difference between having light like a Xerox machine or creating three-dimensional. That's really what it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never walk into a room where the light's all behind you and think, oh, that looks really neat. It's when it's coming at you or raking from the side and such.
Right. So let's hear about it. You didn't learn this as a photojournalist, did you? I mean, you don't...
Mostly, yeah.
Really?
Mostly, yeah. Working for a newspaper forces you to become a problem solver, and as you work your way up your career, you tend to branch into I shoot more news, or I shoot more sports, or I'm more of a feature story kind of person, or I work in the studio more, and you tend to get those assignments based on your skill set and whether or not you're working on a Saturday when it comes to sports. So lighting was always one of my pets.
That was your thing.
Yeah.
Don't you think that being a photographer is being a problem solver? Just period?
Oh, certainly, yeah. But different like sets of problems.
I just sum that one up. So you do a lot of instruction, like we've talked about, giving economical solutions. Mm-hmm. And you do a lot of DIYs off ideas. What are some of your favorite?
So just being in that vortex of ideas coming at you all the time from readers, one of the more interesting things that I've seen is so flashback 5 years, you could get a ring flash basically, but it was a $1,000 proposition. Profoto ring flash, you'll still need a pack. Paul Buffett just come out with the Alien Bees ring flash.
And I want to know about the
Bag
Von Mini. I want to ask about that.
Those are sweet. But beyond that, if you're using speed lights, there were no ring flash adapters and such until people literally started making them out of cereal boxes.
Cutting them out.
With styrofoam in there to reflect the light.
I'm an idiot. What's a ring flash?
Oh, a ring flash is a flash that is basically a donut-shaped flash.
That goes on the lens, right?
It goes around the lens.
So wouldn't you not want that? Because isn't the whole idea to get the camera, the light off the front? I mean, isn't that just doing exactly what you just said not to do?
See, that actually segues into, I think, one of the tips that I have.
Okay.
So, should we start with a tip? Do we talk about that now, or do we?
We can do a tip now.
We'll just naturally do that tip now.
We'll segue to a tip. So we have three of them, but let's do. We'll make this your first tip.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my first tip, and this is something that anybody that reads my site is just going to start rolling their eyes and go, "Oh yeah, I know what this is going to be." Is having some light, some sort of a fill light right near the lens axis, and a ring light would be an ideal version of that. Or if you don't have a ring, an umbrella right behind you, or bouncing your flash off of a wall right behind you, a white wall, hopefully, that gives you a fill light that doesn't create its own signature. So it doesn't create new shadows, and it sort of lifts the bottom of your picture up to give you legibility where there might not be any legibility in, you know, your key light's coming from this direction, creating strong shadows. I can dial those shadows up or down without influencing the shape of the light just by using that on axis.
The key is, though, it's a fill light. Not
exactly. That's exactly it. And every ring flash shot looks the same to me if it's the key light. Some, you know, blonde Eastern European supermodel against the wall, and the ring light goes, and you have the shadow that wraps around her, and it comes down to what color is the wall and how attractive is the model. But other than that, they all look the same.
Well, here's an amazing. This supermodel really doesn't look like that.
So this is a great example of using that ring flash to give you the ability to light in a different way. So if you look at this is Stan Charles, or Stan the Fan in Baltimore. He's like a super fan. Stan the Fan Unusual is a play on the Stan the Man Musial.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And he went from being a super fan to a reporter to this the director of this little sports media empire in Baltimore. And I shot him because he was the Maryland Entrepreneur of the Quarter for MEQ Quarterly. And the ring light in here is not really calling attention to itself, but everything that you can see above his eyes, everything that you can see on the camera left side, that is ring fill. Mm. And this is dialed up a little more than I usually do it, because I almost wanted more of a comic book kind of a... who's the guy that ran Spider-Man's newspaper, the editor? I want to make this a little over the top. But the legibility of those shadows is a function of how much light you're pushing in there in your fill. And that key light coming from upper camera right is very hard. What I don't have to do now is drop that key down so far to get up under his hat that I ruin his face with it. I can light his face from the best position and use the key to erase the illegibility in the shadows.
Chat room says J. Jonah Jameson.
There we go.
And Ray DVD points out and says, wow, that looks like a painting. And I think that that's kind of what we're saying here. This is more painterly. It's modeled. It's more interesting.
Not in the traditional sense. That would look like a modern art painting, like a comic book, I think.
Comic book.
Yeah, I think that's more than a book.
Is his nose, now the bright on his nose, is that the key light that's lighting his nose?
That is key, and that is very hard. So
that's the bare light.
Bare speed light. Two square inches of light with
and
a grid
on it.
And
it's the upper right?
Correct.
Okay. And then there's the ring on the lens, and that's a little bit of fill that's doing like his eye. What's his eyes? Are they being lit by the ring?
So that's the catch light you see in his eyes, a little sparkle. That is coming from the fill.
That's the ring light.
Because
okay.
the brim of his hat would stop that key light from being able to get to there and reflect back.
Yep.
So,
what are most people using a ring light for?
You know, I think increasingly it's getting to be more of a fill light, and I would love to say that this was my thing and I thought of it, blah, 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 but I got this from it was a common denominator in a group of photographers that I admired their work tremendously, Dan Winters, Greg Heisler, Peter Yang, and they had the ability to do interesting light, but to have that controlled legibility everywhere, and just looking at, that was a common thread. They fill from near the axis, and that allows them to do more interesting things with their key light and not having to solve multiple problems with their key light.
Got it. Makes sense.
Do you do standard, I learned three-point lighting, right? Mm. Key, fill, and a highlight, right? Is that what the third one is?
So Rembrandt lighting. A three-point lighting is like a TV thing as much as anything.
That's what we use, for instance.
Yeah. And this classic separation everywhere.
So the key is the big light, the fill. But see, here really... the key is a big light, but it's not on axis. It's off in the corner.
It's a tiny light, actually. It's a very hard light. Exactly. It's the brightest light.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, did you want to have that harsh? Why were you going for that harsh? Because of the comic book feel?
Yeah, I'm not going for beauty light on this guy. Yeah. He's like in your face. And if you look, he actually, he stuck in his hat. He put a press thing.
And I see that.
Oh, you can't, this guy is an awesome personality.
He's a character, isn't he?
He's a character.
And you got it.
He's a character from newspaper days gone by.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were going for the comic book, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Really does,
yeah. Plus, the reproduction in the publication is not, shall we say, you know, gold standard. So if you...
Do you have to consider that, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard.
In a newspaper, you're going to get screened to hell, right?
Yeah.
The joke is that we print on Charmin in the newspaper industry, and the ink drop just goes down and spreads out slowly into the paper.
That's not something that our audience probably has to deal with, but what do you do, dude?
So you have to understand the darkest tone that you can hold and separate from black. Number one, that's the most important thing. And you need to know... We literally had a reflected densitometer. We could look at our prints at the first paper I worked at, very anal retentive about reproduction, gorgeous black and white, and that taught me to know where the boundaries were. If I can hold this tone from white and I can hold that tone from black, everywhere in between those two tones is my playground, and anything above and below that is going to go to white or black, respectively.
Yeah. Wow.
So that photo kind of segues to another tip. Mm. So you might as well just run with it.
So the tip about
having foresight about your shot and how I'm planning it out.
That was something I was almost reluctant to get into because it's a very broad thing. But the thing that I've learned 5 years hence after newspaper, in the newspaper you show up, they give you your assignment, you go, you shoot it, you come back, and they give you a little Scooby snack and send you home.
Or send you back out.
In lieu of pay.
Right.
I have many 5 and 6 assignment days. But now that I left papers, I have to relearn to be a photographer that is not an assignment desk newspaper photographer. And one of the biggest things that's hit me over the last few years was to, rather than thinking forward, technique, location, how am I going to like this person, da-da-da-da-da, I tend now like to go all the way to the end result and say, what do I want to accomplish with this picture? Why is this picture being made? Literally, every case.
Can you give me an example of what those answers to that question would sound like?
Yeah.
So, okay, I included an example with this, and it is a...
lady singing in a shower.
Exactly.
Oh, this is beautiful. Yeah.
So this is Jillian, who is who's a soprano that I was assigned to shoot as part of a partnership with the Howard County Arts Council. And one of my main compass points for this whole series is I want to do good headshots that they can use. This is part of a package that we work together. But with every shoot, I want to try to stretch them into something that is something that they might not have thought of or I might not have thought of. And this is not the kind of thing that's going to be on the cover of the program if she's singing at the Lyric Opera House. But if she's involved in like some kind of a cool urban street opera, whatever, I want to give her some way to say, this is who I am, this is and F you, basically.
I sing in the
soprano.
Right. Yeah.
A wonderful experience to actually be in front of a soprano singing in a shower.
So she's actually singing.
You think you sound good in a shower? This is like, very few people get a command performance with a professional soprano.
Yeah.
But in a shower, I mean, like, I'm getting goosebumps remembering
still.
That. Totally, yeah.
Did you capture two shots of her, one that was more standard that she could use for basic, and then do the creative one, or were you just focused on, let's just go for this creative one?
I definitely want to give her things that she can use that are more standard. A safe headshot, a little more of a stretch headshot, and then it's a progression. So we've already got that stuff in the can. I'm feeling more comfortable with what I've got. She's feeling more comfortable being photographed. And it's just like it's like this interpersonal dance that progresses to the point that it's going to progress or not.
Yeah.
And so you have the safe stuff, but we want to give it a try? Sure, let's give it a try, and you just go with it.
So we know you like the unsafe stuff better, but what do you find clients like?
It depends on what they're using and how they're using it. For instance, she will certainly use the safer shots much more often, but there might be a point that comes up where she's like, I want to make a statement with this picture, or there's some little thing that needs a little
nitrous. She probably personally likes that one better.
I don't know. I don't
Who
know.
Knows?
It was wonderful to shoot because she's singing, I think, Puccini, and we've got the iPhone playing through the amplifier in the back, and she wasn't particularly comfortable getting her photo taken at first, but once she stepped into the shower and started singing, it's like I wasn't even there, which was
interesting.
Which was very cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And how did you like this one?
That's done with two speed lights, actually. One is on a boom sticking into the shower and pointing up, because I want to mimic the light that's already in the shower. And so I created essentially a beauty dish on the ceiling by bouncing a flash right up into it.
Got it.
And the other flash is just to my right, and it's pointed back at the wall. And that's my fill light, sort of a soft ring. The flash is going to bounce off the wall and come back from near me. And the flash is going to pick up the color of the wall. So the fill light is going to have a color that ties her to the room. You ever seen a picture where someone's lit so perfectly?
Yeah.
It looks like a cutout? So taking your fill light and picking up the color of the room can really help tie a lit person to an environment.
And do you use gels a lot to do that as well, to match people to rooms? Or when are you using gels most? For
I
what
use
purpose?
The room, because the room is going to, like, if I'm shooting you in a room with a purple wall, and I've got a key light coming down on you from upper left, and I've got this purple wall here, I can bounce my flash off the wall, and it's going to pick up the perfect color of the room to fill you. So fill light, you know, our fill light in here is gray carpet, and I've got brown here. Like Leo would have, he's got red fill light under the shadow side
because
of his collar.
Of the shirt.
You can see it, absolutely.
Right.
So if you were wearing a white shirt, you might not even need a fill card to pick up that
right.
area. But
right.
fill is your environment speaking to you in the shadows.
And you kept the reflections in. Do you do a lot of post-processing? I'm guessing you don't.
Not a lot, and that's mostly, as far as content alteration, I'm trying to learn to, being in newspaper for a long time, if you alter content in Photoshop, that's your job
yeah.
that day.
You're
the
done.
Day they find out
yeah.
by
yeah.
clean out your desk, see
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But I'm not in that environment anymore, so I try to do it judiciously.
And that's how you have time for the strobist. You're not sitting there retouching all the time.
I try to get as close as I can in camera. Like,
yeah.
I'm a 90% in camera guy.
You know, it's amazing. With a few exceptions, almost everybody's been on that show says again and again, get it right in camera.
In camera.
You can always change it later. I mean,
right.
but the closer you are to your goal in camera, the better off you are.
We did the tips out of order. One last tip, and then we want to take a break, but we have lots more with David Hobby, the strobist. When shooting in an iffy location...
It's
always easier to apologize and get permission.
I love this one. I live by this
one. The shooter's mantra.
So where it says iffy location, most of the time for a newspaper photographer, replace that phrase with mall.
A mall.
That is probably the hardest place to shoot because it is a quasi-public private space.
Yes.
You think you have a First Amendment there. You really don't. You're on private property. And so you have a First Amendment that they can selectively enforce is what you have. So, for instance, if Catherine, if you're the publicity director at a mall and we're going to do a story on how this mall is just going downhill and there are no shoppers here anymore and I show up and say, yeah, we'd like to come out Friday and send a photographer to see how bad things are at the mall.
No.
That's where you selectively enforce the First Amendment.
Yeah.
If I walk in with two cameras over my shoulders and bag, shoot, I'm going to last 2 minutes before the rent-a-cop comes up and says, what are you doing here? Who are you? Da-da-da. So my MO when working in iffy environments is to walk in with the least scare possible, maybe a point-and-shoot, not use it until I've chosen my picture, watched, looked, and go up, snap. And if I see anyone around me that looks like they're going to be an authority figure and come after me, you just... affect like a dumb tourist, you know. The obvious.
Look at him. You can see him there.
Now, see, but that's a Black Friday. They know I'm there, but I would never walk into a mall if we were trying to do something without them knowing it. And if you didn't ask and they didn't say no, you're not breaking any rules, really.
Yeah, I keep saying that to Apple, but they just don't understand. So, actually, I think that a lot of Thomas Hawk talks about this. A lot of photographers talk about this. That the laws are actually not only selectively enforced, but sometimes over-enforced against photographers. There are plenty of places that you're in public, and they still will come up to you.
Absolutely,
and say,
absolutely.
So, just do it, and you can always say, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
Well, I like your whole feeling dumb, acting dumb thing.
Oh.
I use that all the time.
Oh yeah, it's
like,
natural.
I'm really sweet and kind.
And that they ask you to leave.
Kind of stupid.
You leave, but you've already gotten your
picture. But you got the picture.
That's the difference. But trespassing, we would talk to lawyers regularly about what we can do, what we can't do.
Right.
If you walk in and there's signs everywhere that say no photography and you walk in and start shooting, that's on you. But if you walk in and there are no signs but you know it is a non-photography environment, you can shoot until they catch you and ask you to leave or ask you to stop. And anything you got before then, you're pretty okay to go with editorially.
Yeah.
So you want that period of time to last as long as possible.
Right.
And then you stop. They can't clean your card. They might ask to. I'm sorry, I can't let you do that, but I will leave if you want.
Right.
Maybe the last picture you get is the guy walking up with a hand in your face. And that's
always,
even better.
Always useful.
Yes,
always
yes,
a good shot.
There you go.
I like to see those in the newspaper. We're talking to the strobist, David Hobby. He's got a book. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
I do?
Well, what is this? Lighting in Layers. Is that a...
Oh, that's actually a DVD.
I do.
DVD.
Wow.
Well, it could be a book. Things are happening here. We could turn it into a book. I got a printer. We'll do that in a second, but I want to talk first of all about our phone system. I don't get to talk about this actually very often, but you know, when we built the Brick House Studio, you have an... Now, suddenly we've got 20 employees. We've got an office. We've got people making phone calls, and I'm thinking... I got to get a phone system. I never had to in the cottage. People use their cell phones. And we talked to Russell Tammany, who's our great IT guy. He's not a staffer. He's a contract IT guy. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I do in most of these businesses now. We don't put a PBX in the basement. We don't call the phone company. We do Ring Central. It's very modern. It's state-of-the-art. It's basically a virtual PBX system. You get all the features of your hardware PBX without the cost, without the complexity. It really is cutting-edge phone systems. There's no startup cost. There's no PBX. It's totally affordable. Easy to set up. You just plug in the phone and it works. But you get all these great features. Fax in your inbox. It works with your smartphone. It costs $25 a month per user. That includes unlimited phone calls, long-distance phone calls in the U.S. It's just fantastic. It's the number one cloud phone system for business, and I think that that's absolutely true. We've been very happy. Find out more at ringcentral.com. You can try a 30-day risk-free trial right there, or call them 800-800-4070. 800-800-4070. It's funny the things you have to think about when you have an office, and phone system's one of them. This was a great choice, and thank you, Russell Tammany, for suggesting that.
I'm mad that I didn't know about this before I
did you
went
get
to another solution. Yes. I didn't know about it.
No.
I found out about it right
new.
After.
This is brand new.
No, I got mine, like, I think it's existed, but I just didn't know yet.
Yeah, ringcentral.com. Well, now you know.
But I did it as a home versus a business, which is way cheaper.
Yeah, it saves you some money. You have a PBX in your home. Now, that's
yes,
cool.
I do.
That's
it's cool. Awesome.
Well, the nice thing about Ring Central is that that phone number, I can have it ring home. I can have it ring my smart number. So basically, we could be a virtual office. We have people working all over the country, but they could be on the Ring Central system. And I recorded all the announcements, which was fun. We have Twit music on hold and everything.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
I think
really
I'm
going
to call in just to hear it.
Do. It's fun. All right. So this is a DVD. You're selling it on the Strobus site, Lighting in Layers.
Yeah, it's available.
Right?
I think selling it is a little strong. I mean, I
feel... Well, you don't give it away.
Well, I mean, in terms of... Oh, I really sell it.
Well, actually, he gives it away. Yeah. The content's already on the blog, but if somebody wants an easier way to digest it...
Actually, nothing... As far as the specific shoots, nothing that's on this DVD set is on the site.
Okay,
I think of it more in terms of... It's all there. The techniques and such are there if you want to wade through literally 2,000 posts. This is an accelerated way to learn, and that's kind of my...
It's the Strobus Encyclopedia. I love the site, and this would be great to have. Here's an example. Look at this shot. So tell us how you like this.
So nothing really is coming from anywhere near the camera in this picture.
No ring light on this one.
Nothing.
Because you want to get the definition of the muscles.
Exactly. Exactly. I want a picture that look at it and know immediately that she could kick my butt.
Right.
Which she could. This is a local dancer, Stephanie, also part of that Howard County Arts Council project. Two lights from the back, one back on each side, just a rim lighter. And the key light is coming from an umbrella right down over the top of her head and pushed back behind her just a little bit. So it discovers her face more than lighting her face.
Now, are you like Frank Durhoff? Do you get a light meter out and read everything? Or how do you do this?
I'm a seat-of-the-pants guy.
So shoot it, look at it, turn it up and down.
So you never use light meters? Did you ever try?
I'd use them in the past. I grew up with film cameras.
And you had to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So... Or a Polaroid camera, $2 and $2 for every shot that you're going to check out.
Right. But I remember that, where they have a Polaroid back.
Yeah.
Yes.
And shoot, I did that.
And you'd
look at the
I
Polaroid.
I went down that road.
Put them under your arm if it's cold. Remember?
Digital's made this so much easier.
Yeah.
Because you actually can see the shot right away and adjust from there.
Now, if you're shooting a job and handing off the job to someone else in another location, or if you want to be able to make that exact same look later, you want to use a meter. And it's the difference between cooking improv and cooking with a recipe. Do I need to be able to pass this on to my sister to make that same dish?
Tell us about this shot.
That's my son. That's my son.
Oh, really?
He's a goalkeeper. He's a fairly serious goalkeeper.
The greatest picture.
And we got out there on a cold day with him and a couple of his buddies shooting for the local soccer association. And we basically wrapped hard lights all around him. This does have a fill light that is right. It's literally the on-camera flash right bare in the hot shoe. And that flash fills him in, but it also sets off all the other slave flashes.
Is that because you had to capture the moment, so you wanted to be able to have... I mean, why just because you needed to have a flat light in the front?
As an available light picture,
is available light, isn't it?
Yes.
It's outside.
With mirrors everywhere.
Yeah.
So that light, the sky would be much brighter if
Got
I
it.
Had to expose for the available light. So lighting him up with flash allows me to be able to bring the sky down behind him. And this is...
I still call that a fill flash, really, because isn't the sky giving you most of the light, or no?
If the flashes didn't go off, everything in the foreground would be silhouette. I mean, you can see how dark the trees are in the background with no flash.
Got it.
If you look at the shadow underneath him running along the bottom edge of the picture, that's how dark everything would be. So this is four bare flashes.
But when you say flashes wrapped around him, how many did you have? You said four?
One flash on each side in the back, a key light off the camera right, and then that flash on my camera.
If you only have one flash, where would you put it?
You know, it's not so much a matter of where, although that's important, but if you only have one flash, your shadows have to be taken care of by something else.
There has to be some ambient light.
Oh, got it.
Ambient is always the very first thing that I consider when going into a frame. What is the ambient level? Where do I want it to be? Do I want to suppress it a stop or two? Do I want to make the colors richer? And then after that, then go after your subject and figure out what you're going to do with them. But
how do you light honeybees?
Quickly, and then you get the hell out.
Is that a 70-200?
It's a 55 micro. I'm like two
what?
Inches from.
Oh, no.
I'm allergic to bees. I would not do that.
Oh. I'm a manual guy. It is a ring light. That's an Orbis
ring
flash adapter.
Yeah.
I'm a manual guy on my flash normally, but in a situation like this, I might lean right down, and I did put the flash on TTL. Know it's going to be pretty close because it's a fairly medium gray subject. Shoot two or three frames, and then pull back.
Woo! there's the beekeeper. He doesn't mind.
Now he's in protective garb.
Are you in protective garb?
We're not.
Oh wow, that's nice.
Great.
That's great. Intelligence difference, I think. Subject
So you said you were at Flickr yesterday.
I was.
The last man standing.
Now, don't say that. Lots of people still use Flickr.
Yes.
But you love Flickr.
They're the 600-pound gorilla, really, in
they
the
still
space.
Are.
Now, technically, Facebook is, because Facebook moves more pictures than anyone. But as far as a standalone, you know, photo-sharing site, it's Flickr.
I love this shot, by the way.
What is it about?
Is that your family, or is that...
That's my daughter out on the porch late last summer reading.
I just love this. Now, this is a stage, or this was going on, and you...
This is walking out on the porch in late September, and you see this, and you're like... okay, nobody goes to bed for 10 minutes.
Move.
I'll be right back.
Don't move.
But this is a flash picture. This is not...
What?
This is...
Not TTL.
No. So when we talked about thinking about the ambient light first, this is a really good example of that. So the ambient light in here is a fluorescent over the door in the background, that little candle lantern on the bottom, and the key light on her face, which is that flashlight bouncing off the book.
I love that.
So that's a quarter second exposure at like F4 at ISO 800, if I remember correctly. But it would be too dark in lots of other areas in the picture. So popping the flash up into the ceiling... I'm almost doing the opposite now. I am using the flash to lift the floor of this picture, the visual floor, to where it can all fit in the histogram.
So you didn't use any gels or anything in this?
No. I shot it on tungsten because that flashlight is a tungsten bulb.
Oh, got it.
So when I bounced my flash off of my daylight flash, that kind of shifted everything from the flash to blue, and I let the other lights fall where they may. And tungsten, flame looks kind of natural on tungsten. If you just shoot it straight on daylight, it looks way too red, I think, anyway.
Got it.
That's a great shot.
And fluorescents just suck. You let them go where they're going to go.
They worked with you on this one.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they're horrible, but
this is a very complicated
neat.
Shot.
Yeah.
Because you got the green fluorescent, you got the very warm candlelight, you've got the flashlight.
Daylight flash. Yeah,
so it is and it isn't, because really, at its heart, it's an ambient light picture.
And you wanted to get those different colors.
Right. You don't want to ruin that picture.
Right.
So shoot the ambient picture, get your highlights where you want them, and then in this case, I'm going to use my flash to lift the shadows to where there's legibility in there.
I love this.
Those little egg chairs from IKEA that our kids just sit in, they're like little cocoons, and... I just spin around and read for like an hour at a time.
So you walk by this and you see this scene and you're inspired. Mm-hmm. How do you stay inspired like that? You've been doing this for so long. How do you not just feel like, ugh, I'm tired. I need to do this picture.
So I spent 20 years making pictures for other people, and specifically working every Saturday night because I had the ability to shoot sports. I'm a decent sports photographer, not great, decent.
Pretty good.
And so they have to, Saturdays and Sundays, they have to staff with people who can be called to go shoot in, you know, NFL, Orioles, whatever. So my inspiration now is from making up for all the lost time when I would come back and I would have been shooting pictures all week.
Yeah.
I don't want to shoot, you know, just snapshots of my days off. So now... I don't shoot pro baseball anymore, but I do shoot rec league soccer, and I have...
That's neat.
My son's a keeper. I'm a defensive coach, and I have more fun shooting those games than any professional college sports I ever shot.
Love them.
It just ties everything together.
This is all on the DVD. He's also a shooter.
That's you're out of the DVD set at this point.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know where I've ended up.
So going back one frame, for instance, that's my son. We're on you're in the family album right now.
Okay.
So we're at a dude ranch, and he learned how to shoot last summer, and the guy let him shoot a 38 special time.
Yeah.
And he said, "Is it going to kick?" And I'm like, "It's about like stopping a hard shot with two hands." And so he was ready for
he
it.
Knew.
And
he knew. That's
it's the
cool.
same kind of a force.
He knew. That's great. I love it. There's the 22 blinking on cards.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Ring light?
No, just, well, yes, if you think about it, overcast day,
perfect.
But I'm leaning over her, so it's all pushing straight down.
Softbox.
So it is like the ultimate softbox right behind my head.
Softbox. These are great. Anyway, we started talking about Flickr. I had to point out that shot because I just love that shot so much. So you still use Flickr for all of your, in fact, there's a big Strobus discussion group. There's huge Strobus group where people post their own images.
About 100,000 people or so.
A very big community around yourself using Flickr.
And my being tied to Flickr is not a function, I mean, it is, it definitely fits in well with my site, but if all things equal, I would do it as an individual too. And the reason is, number one, it is ridiculously robust. You know, people talk about the
you
design,
have half a million
the
pictures
the
in here. I mean,
it's oh yeah, in the group, yeah.
Yep.
So I'm just making sure nothing is not family friendly popping up. That so these are just that this is the last in first out pictures that have come from the readers of the site, which is
so
really
you still
inspiring.
Administer this yourself.
I have a group of mods that do that. Yeah, I hang out there, but
thank
I just
God
don't have
the... Thank God for the mod, let me tell you. That's the same with our chat room.
I don't have the bandwidth to do that, the personal bandwidth.
Yeah.
Have you looked at Smug Mug or 500px and these other sites? Or you?
I have. I think they're slick and they're pretty. And the one thing that I really like about Flickr is it embraces the entire continuum of photographers.
Right.
So I can put my stuff up. My wife can put the snapshots up. I can throw 500 soccer pictures into our personal account so the other parents can
have
them
for
their kids.
I use it for that kind of thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but within my group, we've had beginning photographers, we've got professional photographers, and everywhere in between, Flickr is cool with anybody in that continuum, and I think that that has a lot of validity.
Again, the soccer league is very lucky to have David.
Yeah,
Hobby
I know, really.
Shooting their shots.
I know.
We have fun. We have a really good group of guys.
That's awesome.
So you're at my personal stream right now.
This is your Flickr
stream,
stream.
Whatever.
Yep.
So you've done. I mean, a lot of what you've done is building these communities. What's next?
You know, that's really interesting you ask, because I've got a Lighting 101 and a Lighting 102 section on the site, which is really about the building blocks of understanding light. And everybody's like, when's Lighting 103? Like, no, there is no Lighting 103. It's like, you've got sweet, sour, salty, you know, bitter. Those are the four tastes. You don't get a umami if you're Japanese. You don't get a sixth taste. Go cook.
Yeah.
Everything you've ever tasted is that combination. So I'm really interested in studying the continuum of photographers between amateur and pro all around the world. People who have taken this amazing opportunity of having great camera gear available to them and instant free worldwide syndication, whether you're doing it pro or amateur, what are you doing with that? I want to find those people and use it to inspire the people who have the skill set, but they might not have the impetus to go out and do something cool with it.
Strobus.com. We're going to get David's gear picks in just a bit and wrap it up, but I want to remind everybody about Netflix.com/twit. 30 days free Netflix streaming. I'm just looking at the Kindle Fire. They have a new interface. They're going to do a new Apple interface. They're slowly rolling these out to the iPad and so forth. The Android interface, if you have an Android tablet, look at it. This is the future Netflix interface. Gorgeous. You can stream Netflix movies, great movies, and discover more movies all the time at Netflix.com/twit. $7.99 a month. Your first month is absolutely free, and I want you to check it out. And if you're already a Netflix member, do us a favor. Tell your friends. Netflix.com.
If you type in
twit.
Under Fire, that's one of...
Under Fire. What's
that? I posted about that movie. You've never seen Under Fire.
What is it?
Oh, it's a Nick Nolte film from back in the... And it's about a photojournalist named... what is his name? Russell Price?
I think so.
Is that right?
We'll pull it up and
fictional photojournalist covering Central America. And it's a great...
Oh, I have to watch it.
Oh, you're going to love it.
You're going to love it, Leo.
It's great.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I love it.
Something for you to do tonight.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about Netflix. There's always something to do tonight. So let's talk gear. What do you say? We have a couple of gear picks from the Strobus. First of all, what do you recommend for a strobe?
Well, you know, sadly, they don't make my favorite strobe anymore. The Nikon SB800, I think, was the best small flash ever made because it did everything you wanted to do, and they knew when to quit. So they've got the SB 900 out, and it's much bigger. It's more powerful. It does other cool stuff. But this is like this is the size of a hot dog. I'm addicted to these strobes. I've got
you
a dozen of them.
You could probably find them on eBay. I bet. I mean, I'm zinc.
Way.
Oh, they're pricey.
They're more expensive than the new ones. Supposedly
so people
flashes.
Have discovered.
You did that to yourself.
Yeah.
Your fault, strobist. Your fault. But, I blame you, strobist.
But there's a strobe that literally was designed by the readers of the site with reader input.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's a much much less expensive because it doesn't use TTL. It doesn't use automatic. It's called a LumaPro LP160. And it has a killer slave and full manual control. And the coolest thing is you can sync it four different ways. It's the only flash that does that. It's got a hot shoe. It's got a slave, which is an awesome slave. And it's got a PC jack. And it's got a 1/8-inch phono jack. So you can make your own cheap sync cords.
So can I get this on the LumaPro site? Or where do I?
Yeah, LumaPro.com they have them. And okay. they're I think, $159.
All right. LumaPro, LumaPro.com. We'll find that. And then the other thing that you recommend is
this is a good
a
one.
Sheet.
This is very expensive.
Yes. And not even, you can't use an expensive sheet. It's got to be a cheap
sheet. It's got to be cheap.
From Walmart.
The 300 thread count cotton sateen sheet set.
No, I want a sheet that's so thin it only has one side. I want the cheapest.
You want the 100. You want the two thread
count. So just
go
to a Motel 6 and steal the sheets.
Yes.
You laugh, but Joe McNally has actually done that. I mean,
okay,
for instance, if you're going to do a shoot and you've got bright light coming through a window and it's just plenty of it, it's just crappy light, you clip a sheet up to that window and you've got a giant softbox. You can shoot a flash through a sheet to make it a softbox. You can stretch a sheet across two light stands in a corner to make a changing room. You can spread a sheet on the ground to get a fill light that is not like green grass. There are so many things that you can do with a sheet. It's my biggest light source.
So don't get a 300 thread count. Get a
the lowest.
Go to Walmart. Get the cheapest queen size white sheet that they
make.
But
you want white, unless you want blue.
If that's
you could have
your
different
thing,
colors.
Right?
You could have different colors. That's your ambient light, right? All right.
And actually, it's not on the list, but I wanted to ask you about the Vagabond Mini.
The Vagabond Mini. It's a Paul Buff product, and it's designed to power all of his flashes. But the secret is it will power lots of other flashes. It's like this big, and it weighs next to nothing, and it just keeps going.
What about as a solution? Well, would it fire a Profoto?
It will, but you got to be patient.
Oh.
I mean, it's a slow.
Like
it's a slow
how long a recycle time if I had a...
It depends
say
on,
I'm at 500 watts.
What 500 watt seconds? Maybe 3-4 seconds on a recycle.
Oh.
But it really
and then how many
plays.
How much juice? How many flashes?
So Rob Galbraith, I would point anyone who's interested in learning about the Vagabond Mini to his site. Just Google Rob Galbraith, GALBRAITH, and Vagabond Mini, because he did this awesome long post where he showed he did tests on how many pops and I don't just use it for flashes anymore. It is our. It is my backup battery for my computer. It is 50 gazillion charges for my iPhone. Mm. It is what's running the kids' games in the back of the car if we're taking off on a long trip.
Handy.
It's small enough to where I'd backpack with it. I'd go out on the Appalachian Trail and backpack over a few days and know that I'm going to have my iPhone the entire time.
That's awesome.
It's not that
heavy. What's the name of that again?
The Vagabond Mini.
It's so interesting that you say that because we were actually looking for solutions for flying to keep charge, and I don't want to have to keep buying batteries.
That's actually, it's iffy because it's a lithium battery.
So they may not let it on.
It's certified, but the TSA is judge, jury, and executioner when you're right there in line. So you, I don't know that I would carry that in cabin.
You don't know if you trust that.
$239.
Yeah.
Tons of power.
It's just a,
what about if you wanted something where if I needed a faster recycle time?
So everybody says, you know, well, what's the best battery you can get? Well, for $1,000, you can buy a Honda EU2000i generator, and they're quiet. You move them 50 feet away with an and that's
don't do it inside, kids.
Well, you got AC inside, but people who are really serious about shooting big lights outside eventually all wind up
with a generator,
and usually with that particular.
We have the Honda.
Fantastic.
The Honda generators are which? What's the number again? It's the Honda
EU2000i.
Yeah, that's I have that one.
So the nice thing is it'll handle most big strobes, but it also puts out a nice pretty sine wave because the switching power generators, the ugly sine wave ones, can actually kill your flashes.
Oh.
So that's important. Make sure it's a pure sine wave generator.
But the Honda one, I got it on eBay, or no, on Craigslist for like $700 and something.
Shut up.
I am not kidding.
Up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
So we take it to Burning Man.
And it's cute.
But at Burning Man, you'll see that this, I know it's totally cute. It's like little and cute. But everybody uses, this is the best generator.
Yeah.
For this price, especially. Yeah. Everybody's using this generator at Burning Man. They're littered everywhere.
And they're quiet.
They're quiet. They
I have no
can
use
take
for
a beating.
It, and I want to get one.
So here's the thing. You use photo as the excuse to buy it, but then next time your power goes out.
Right. You'll be ready.
Who's got a compact
This show is very bad for you, Leo.
My credit card's maxed out. The good news is I can't buy anymore. So nice to have you on at the Strobist. By the way, let's plug your Twitter stream as well. David's at Strobist on Twitter. And
can I have like 5 minutes to do speed questions?
Sure.
Look at all the questions. She's got like
3 minutes.
800 questions.
No, these are from viewers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. These are viewer questions.
A new feature on the show, speed question.
Speed question from viewers.
You got to do it, David. You got to do
one,
it.
In one sentence or less.
Twitter-length answers.
Twitter-length answers. I like it. What is defining OS is too complicated. you can't do that. In
me think okay.
We've already answered that one.
Just say yes.
Best alternative for a Pocket Wiz.
Best alternative for Pocket Wizard.
Those are the wireless triggers.
Right, wireless transmitter. The Radio Popper Juniors are really good ones. There are a lot of like pushing that quality boundary coming out of China right now. Biggest problem with that is you don't know if they're going to be on the same frequency with the next model.
Right.
So a Radio Popper has I like them as an alternative to Pocket Wizard because they've said we're going to stick with our frequency, and that matters.
Good.
Got it. Tips for using gels.
Gels, okay, less is more. And think about families of colors.
Okay, there's a fly. I'm so sorry.
But the first time you grab a sample pack and you've got all those gels, your pictures start looking like a Cyndi Lauper video from 1980. So think about like half CTOs and half CTBs and tweak light rather than nailing people over the head with it.
Got it. What is the difference between shooting in regular versus high sync?
Regular and high sync. High sync, the big print giveth and the fine print taketh away, because you can crank up your shutter speed and drop your aperture correspondingly in an ambient environment. But instead of one big pop where your camera is open for that whole exposure, as your slit travels across in, say, a thousandth of a second, pop, 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 so a lot of your energy is lost on black curtain. So it literally, your flash becomes much less efficient in high-speed sync mode as you go up.
Interesting. Okay.
I prefer a neutral density filter for that same effect. So 250th a second f/16, get your bounce flash, and then crank a neutral density filter over your lens to keep all the power of your flash and let you shoot at whatever aperture you want.
Got it. Chargeable, rechargeables or not?
Yes, nickel metal hydride batteries, and make sure you get the ones that say pre-charged on the box, because that means that they will hold their charge and not just lose their charge over 2 weeks. Usually the batteries with higher capacities tend to be the battery. It's like a big cup of water with a hole in the bottom of it. So they just wear out while they're sitting in your cupboard. I like the Kodak pre-charged batteries. You can get four of them at any Walmart for $10.
So does that mean because I have, for example, rechargeables that I can recharge them after I shoot, but then they're dead again by the time I shoot.
Yeah. So that would
solve that problem.
Yeah, Inneloops are the brand, but lots of people rebrand them. But that's more important than capacity. It doesn't matter how much capacity you had if it all ran out.
It all ran out. Okay. Favorite DIY light modifier? We never got to that.
Favorite DIY? Well, the sheet's kind of like a DIY, but I really have a soft spot in my heart for people who create cardboard ring flash adapters out of cereal boxes. Because that was one of the most creative things I saw come upstream. And the Orbis ring flash adapter, which is really popular now, came from looking at those designs and tweaking them on an industrial scale and making reflectors inside. I mean, that he was a tweaker that read the site that said, you know what, this can be a real product.
Isn't that
so
neat?
That's I think that's awesome.
That's really neat. Yeah.
And then the last question, how can newbies see the light? And a Twitter answer.
So don't... Look at natural light that inspires you, and it's almost never two umbrellas, one from each side of your camera. Mm-hmm. Look at the light that blows you away and think, okay, what would I have to do to create that light on a blank slate? Mm. And that's the fastest way to get towards interesting light, I think.
David, it's so great to have
you.
It's so good to have you.
It's such an honor.
Big fan. Big, big fan.
I feel like I'm sitting between two greats.
Oh, please.
It's amazing. I'm just like, wow, this is awesome.
I grade on her nerves. You're a great photographer. It's perfect. So next week, Penny de los Santos, who is a food photographer.
One of the best.
That's
legendary.
Be fun.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for that one.
I bet you most people who watch this show take a lot of pictures of what they eat. That seems to be very popular.
It is very popular.
So we'll show you how to do it.
Tony
better.
Specializes in that. All of his photos are cats or food.
It's all of food. So that's next week. I hope you will join us. We do this show every Tuesday at about 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, and I have to do the time change because we are now in standard time, so I add 8, and that would make it 21:30 UTC, like that in my head.
Wow.
Like a
good job.
Like a steel
Very impressive.
And if you don't get to see it live, you can, of course, watch it because we make audio and video versions available at our website, twit.tv. Catherine Hall is at catherinehall.net. Last chance to apply
to Guest Quest.
Guest Quest. Please go there and find out what the rules are. Get your portfolio up so we can see it and our great judges can see it.
There's really good work so far. I'm very impressed.
Is there?
Yes.
You're not worried now that
no.
we're going to have just somebody,
I'm not worried.
Awful on? Somebody like me on the show? Good. I'm glad to hear it. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you,
Thanks,
David.
Thanks, David.
For having me.
All the
Wonderful.
Best. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twit Photo. Bye-bye.